This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's now 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are promoting sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. Today, I am joined by the Green Talks founder herself, Miss Ellen Green.
Hi.
The original Green.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's good to be back.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
So she is actually starting, or she has started her own project called the Lexington Environmental Youth Outreach, or LEO, in conjunction with a few other UK students. And so she's just going to be sharing a little bit about that today.
Yeah.
Awesome. So can you give us like a general overview about what LEO is and what you guys do?
Yeah, so LEO is a student organization here at UK. We started officially in the spring semester of 2016, so it's officially been a year now since we first were founded. But the idea started quite a bit before that with my friend Jennifer Taylor, who is also a student here. We are both in the ENS major, the Environmental and Sustainability Studies program. And we met in class, and the idea for this project was actually born, or us collaborating was born on this show, actually. She first told me about it, or her idea of it, while I was host still. And the basis of LEO, basically, it's Environmental Youth Outreach. We are a student mentor group. We have college mentors volunteer their time to go to a local elementary school and do experiential environmental activities. Our whole goal is to bridge the gap between like real learning in the classroom and learning about the natural world in the natural world.
So where did the idea itself come from?
Yeah, so like I said, the idea was originally my friend Jennifer Taylor. She's also our current director of LEO. I'm the assistant director. And she has always been really interested in environmental justice issues. So just issues where people who are have less resources due to like socioeconomic status or racial bias, who are more likely to experience the negative effects of environmental issues like pollution and like food justice issues, like just lack of resources in general. And so she wanted to try and tackle that in our community, specifically with youth who are the most vulnerable of our population. And she first told me about this project after she went to the AISHE conference, I guess a year ago now. And we talked, and she said that she was really interested in getting some sort of student organization off the ground where college kids could go and be peer mentors with elementary school kids. We didn't really know in what capacity or what that would really look like, but it was the foundation for this idea. And eventually this, like, I guess it was maybe a couple weeks after we first talked about it, we both got an email from the university about the Clinton Global Initiative University, which is a project from the Clinton Foundation where they provide mentoring and resources for students in colleges and universities across the country who are interested in doing some sort of community service projects. And UK had a project set up or a program set up for students who were interested in participating in this global initiative if they submitted a proposal and were accepted to the program, the university would provide, I think it was like $1,500, maybe less than that, to students who had projects that were accepted. And so it's kind of a long shot. The deadline was like a couple of weeks away, but we were like, you know, we can do this. We can sit down. And the two of us and a friend wrote up this proposal, sent it away to the Clinton Global Initiative. and we were accepted. So we got to attend a conference in Berkeley, California last April. We got to collaborate with a lot of different organizations that were doing environmental work, like health, social work, health kind of projects internationally and across the country. We kind of fell out of our league because we were doing very like localized work, but it was still important. And we gained a lot of really interesting insight into how to run a project like this. Mm-hmm. So we came back to the university and we had our like $1,000 or whatever it was. And then we just started. So yeah, we made a constitution. I think the requirement for a UK student org is to have 3 members. And we had 3 members. So the 3 of us would meet like a couple times a week and just start really drafting how we saw ourselves being able to implement an environmental education program. And the rest is history, I guess.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that it's been a registered org for about a year, but I should preface this by saying that I'm one of the sustainability mentors who gets to go into the schools and work with the little kiddos, and it's awesome. But we didn't actually start attending the schools until this semester. So what was the second semester like after you guys had gotten the grant? What were you guys working on?
Yeah, so I guess that spring, once we got back in April, we only had really about a month to get everything ready so that we could launch the program come this fall. So our goal was to start somewhere in September, October. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we had to do was find schools that wanted to work with us. We knew that we wanted to work with either fourth or fifth graders, somewhere in there, because we felt like that was the age where we most vividly remembered being really excited about learning. Like, I feel like once you get into middle school, it's like you get really cynical and things get hard. Like, you hit like 13 and you're just
over it already.
So over it. And I feel like fourth and fifth graders, they're like in an in-between where they're really mature for like being kids. Like, mm-hmm. they are like really easy to talk to and they want to be like grown up for mm-hmm. the people that are working with them, but at the same time, like, they're still so innocent and ready to learn. And so that was our goal. So what we did with the mindset that we wanted to work with kids who were more likely to experience environmental injustice and just injustice in general, we started looking at school demographics in Lexington, and we looked at schools that had a high percentage of free and reduced lunch, among other things. And we reached out to those schools, and we heard back from a couple of them and ended up working with William Wells Brown Elementary. And so that's how we just had to send out a bunch of emails. Like, I sent out like 12 emails in one day, like, hi, my name's Ellen, and please let us help you. Not really, but just, we have this program, we have students who are interested and doing this kind of work, would you be willing to start an after-school program with us? And then from there, we had a sort of a collaborative relationship where we worked with a teacher from the school who helped us develop the program. But basically, we decided that we wanted to have about 15 kids from the school that we'd be working with, and our goal was to have as close to a one-to-one ratio of college mentors and elementary school students. So we reached out to different majors across campus, asking if there were any undergraduates who were interested in being sustainability mentors. That's what we called the position, as you know, because you are one. and we knew that it was going to be a really time-consuming position to take on. We have meetings every week for mentors, and half the time is spent in the schools doing the educational activities, and then the other half is spent doing professional development, curriculum preparation, making sure that everybody's comfortable going in and teaching the lessons that we'll be working on. And so to ensure that the people that would be coming onto the program would also be willing to take on that effort, we had an application process, and we interviewed every single one of our mentors. And that was just a crazy couple of weeks at the end of last end of last spring. But because of that, we met just tons of really cool people who were interested in doing the work that we were doing. And I mean, you're a mentor and you're one of our friends, but we had people that we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out of the woodwork who were interested in the same things as us. So we've created a really cool community for ourselves since then. And so we spent the rest of that semester doing like trainings and just community activities. And then in the fall, we kept doing some of that until we were ready to go into the school, which I think happened in October.
It was actually on Halloween.
Halloween, yeah. Halloween was the first day, 'cause I remember it was the activity with the entomology.
Yeah, we had an entomologist in...
Or it was
someone
the,
who studied
the
reptiles.
Snakes, reptiles.
I'm not sure
what, it was.
What
yeah.
that title is. But
we brought in, it wasn't entomology, it was the person who brought in the reptiles with the snakes, and the kids thought that was super fun for a Halloween.
Yeah, that was a really cool little lesson there.
Yeah.
So what sort of lessons are you trying to convey?
So something that was really important to us is... the recognition, or teaching the recognition, that nature isn't just some abstract place mm-hmm. or thing that's away from where we are. Like, we live in an urban area,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of the kids that we're working with don't have the resources to, like, go out to the gorge or what a lot of us might consider, like, the natural world, like mm-hmm. wooded areas and forests and all that. And what we wanted to instead teach is that nature is... anywhere. It can be anywhere. And it can be in an urban environment. It can be the lawn outside of your house. It can be the playground at school. And so that was something that we really wanted to start with as a basis, is that you don't have to think of yourself as a part of nature. Like, you can be in nature where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we did conversations, as you know, on like wildlife and water. Pretty soon we're going to be doing work with food systems. And I'm not a mentor, so I haven't actually been there, but you have. So, like, have you had, like, not to switch the interview around, but, like, have you had, like, favorite lessons that you guys have worked on at the school?
Most definitely. Just on this Monday, we went outside and we were learning the differences between built and natural environments. And so that was one really cool process of getting them to realize that nature is all around them, is actually taking them outside on their school lot and looking at what sorts of habitat their playground provides for animals. And so that was a really cool experience. My probably favorite activity that we did with them is that we took them outside again and actually let them adopt a tree. We had people from the Urban Forestry Initiative come and give packets on how to identify trees, and so they got to pick one out on their school lot, identify it with their mentor, measure it, and then use this online calculator to figure out what sorts of benefits that tree was providing in terms of shading and carbon sequestration and different sorts of measurements like that. And to see their eyes just like bulge open when they have this number that's in the thousands of dollars that mm-hmm. this tree is providing was really, really cool. And they all wanted to take home a packet on Adopt a Tree, and they all wanted to do it themselves at home. They went home with a little measuring tape and that booklet and everything, and so they were all really excited. To see that sort of, like, passion in them was really special.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So how were the students selected to participate in the program?
So like I said, we had I wouldn't say intense, but definitely an involved application process. And this was just to ensure that the people who were going to be brought on were ones who were willing to put in the time, mm-hmm. because something that's really important to us, like, we know that it's a big time commitment to be a sustainability mentor, and it's a weekly dedication. And it's important to us that we are stable presences in these kids' lives that we're going into the school and working with. So we wanted to make sure that there are people who are not only qualified to work in these schools, but also that are willing to dedicate their time week after week to be there and show up. So we had a couple of short, like, I don't want to say essays, but just like questions that we asked people to think about and respond to, just dealing with, like, why do you think environmental education is important? What does sustainability mean to you? And these are all questions that are pretty subjective, but I think the answers have their own merit. Like, I think it's hard for us to think, like, oh, if someone's like, well, sustainability for me is recycling, compared to an answer where it's much more understanding of, like, the intricacies of sustainability. So those are the kinds of things that we looked in, mm-hmm. Or we looked at when we were considering mentors. We also looked at just experience working with kids. We didn't really want to have anybody who hadn't worked with kids before, because this was our first time, and we wanted to make sure that, like, we're not, like, certified or anything to work with kids, but, like, I think all of us have had some experience, whether that be babysitting or camp counseling and mm-hmm. things like that. And those are, it's valuable skills when you're starting a new organization to have people that already have that experience coming in right off the bat.
Absolutely.
And then, like I said, we had personal interviews, which was mostly just a matter of making sure, because we all spend so much time together, mm-hmm. so making sure that everybody gets along and you get a good sense of how people are when you talk to them one-on-one. So overall, though, we met really great people mm-hmm. through the applications, and I don't think we really had to say no to, like, that many people, because we had some really qualified people who were interested in being involved.
I can definitely speak to that. The whole group is awesome.
I can definitely speak to Lauren being highly qualified.
I personally am a great mentor. Just kidding. We are actually going to take a quick break, but we will be right back with more discussion about Leo and the other initiatives. Let's keep it locked. Welcome back. It's now 4:17. You are listening to Green Talks. I'm Lauren Thomas, your host, and I'm here with Ellen Green, the original host of Green Talks. She is lending some insight into her environmental outreach initiative. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge of getting this program set up?
It's just a lot of work. Like, right in the beginning, I think we being myself, Jennifer Taylor, and Michaela Mercer, who were the three original founders, I think we knew that it was going to be a lot of work when we first started out, because we, like I said, we wrote the proposal for the Clinton Global Initiative in, like, a week and a half during finals week, during winter term, like, a year ago. And it was really hard, because I think it was good in some ways, because it made us really have a concrete understanding of the direction we wanted our program to be in. We had to write a vision statement. We had to write our mission statement. We had to have, like, a first-year plan, a 5-year plan, and, like, a 10-year plan. So we really had to think about all of this stuff very early on. But actually getting into the nitty-gritty of, like, going through and following through with all of your goals is really tough when you're also a full-time student and working. And doing other things. But I think the most important lesson that we learned was, like, communication and the importance of depending on each other. Mm-hmm. And, like, you hear it all the time when you hear people talk about, like, doing activist work and things like this. But self-care was super important early on. Like, we had to take time to be together as friends, because we were all friends too, but we were also working super hard on this together. But, yeah, it's just a lot of dedication, I guess, and knowing what your responsibilities are and following through with them, mm-hmm. which is not always the easiest thing to do when you have a million other things going on. But yeah. It was certainly a learning experience. Jennifer and I actually went and presented at AISHE this year. Mm-hmm. We did our own presentation on the steps for forming your own student organization at the Student Summit at AISHE, because we felt that we really did learn a lot of valuable lessons in the first couple of months of getting this program off the ground. And a lot of the times it felt like we were flying blind, but then turning back, you realize that you just have to depend on yourself and your friends, and also all of the resources that are available to us here at the university. Mm-hmm. Like, we had so much help from professors who supported us and different academic departments who offered resources when we asked. So I think it was just one of those things where it's going to get hard, but you just have to keep pushing through and you have to remember why you're doing it.
Absolutely. And just for clarification, HD is the conference for the Association of the Advancement for Sustainability in Higher Education. That was a lot to remember.
Yes.
All at once. But it's a big conference just talking about sustainability on college campuses. And so their student summit has a lot of like student leaders, and I'll just give a plug. Y'all's presentation was awesome.
Thank you. Lauren also listened to us do our run through like 3 times before we gave it because we were super nervous.
And it was great.
But yeah, it was. I think that was the moment when because we started applying. We applied to speak at ASHE before we even had Leo like off the ground. But I think we knew at that time that like we were already on the path to having it be very successful. But it was just a matter of believing that what we were doing was lessons that, like, there were lessons that were important to mm-hmm. share and that would be beneficial to tell other people about.
Absolutely. So you mentioned part of the grant process being a long-term plan. Where do you see Leo going? What's your hope for 10 years ahead?
So this is where I get kind of sad since I'm graduating in May and leaving Lexington. But our initial goal is we want to have longevity, and we want to make sure that we create an organization that can exist without us.
Mm-hmm.
And already we had one of our founding members graduate last May. I think all of our director board right now is graduating. We have 4 girls who are directors. And so we wanted to create an organization that would be able to withstand that kind of turnaround. And I think that we have done that so far. It's important that you include people, not just upperclassmen, but also people who are going to be here for multiple years. It's important that you have very clear expectations of the people who are in your organization, and that you have enough documentation that when people take over your position in the next year, they understand very clearly what they're expected to do. And beyond that, like, not even expected to do, just it's laid out so it's easy for them to do, because we've been figuring everything out on our own. But if we document it and leave it as a way for other people to learn from like our mistakes and our trial and error, then our goal is to make that transition much easier. Long-term wise, right now we're only working with one school. We've already had another school reach out to us this year and ask if we would be willing to start the program at their school. Really, unfortunately, we had to say no because we just don't have the capacity. We only have like 15 mentors right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we would love to be able to work with other kids, we're already very demanding of the people who volunteer their time with us already. But that's certainly a goal, is to have enough money and volunteer power to work with multiple schools. I think the long-term dream would be to design the kind of program that would be rather easily replicated at other universities. And this was something that we brainstormed with early on, the idea of creating sort of a manual, or just because we create our own curriculum as well. So mm-hmm. like a curriculum to follow, like a how-to as far as getting a program started, that could be given to other universities and students who are interested in this kind of program so that they could easily implement it themselves. But that's the kind of thing that if it were to happen, it's kind of out of our hands since we're leaving.
Right.
But we are trying to instill that in our current members who will be staying on, that's our goal.
So what kind of, you mentioned your sort of exec board. What sort of positions are those people filling, and what kind of jobs are open?
Yeah, so but currently we're actually taking applications for every position that we have, which is we have sustainability mentors, which are the people that actually go into the school and lead the lessons one-on-one with the kids that we work with. And then we have 4 director positions. We have the executive director, which is already filled. And that person is in charge of just really like overall management of the organization. They're like the president. Mm-hmm. Then we have the director of external affairs, which is the job that I'm currently filling, which does like social media maintenance, working with outside partners, and just basically your general like outreach type of position. We have a director of finance who does our fundraising. So we do like dinners at Mellow Mushroom for fundraising, and we'd have, we reach out to people for donations and things like that. And so they're in charge of gathering enough resources. And then we also have a director of programming who's in charge of working, in charge of working with our mentors and developing curriculum and having the relationship that we have with the school that we work with. And those last three positions are currently open for applications.
So sort of a neat little segue. How can people get involved or get in contact?
Yeah, so we have, the application process is open right now until Friday currently, but that will likely be extended. And that can be accessed, if you're interested, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/UKYLEYO. And there is a link to follow there that leads to the online application. And if you're interested in being a director, but not a sustainability mentor, the two director positions, the director of finance and the director of external affairs, you can hold that position without being a mentor, which is what I'm currently doing because I don't have the time, sadly, to be a mentor. But yeah, that's where you can find that.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I think that's all I have for you, unless there are any final plugs that you want to give. But
no, I just really appreciate being able to come on and talk about this. This has really been kind of my baby for like the last year. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to leave, but I'm really excited about the idea of other people coming on. So if you are interested in learning more or you have other questions that I didn't answer, I can be emailed at leyoutreach@gmail.com. My name is Ellen, if you want to know anything more.
Well, thanks so much for returning to your radio baby.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
It was fun to be back.
Awesome. Well, just for some closing announcements, applications for the 2017-2018 round of sustainability internships are now open. You can find those at uky.edu/sustainability/student-internships, and those will be open until April 7th. And as always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding for support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. You can also like the Student Sustainability Council on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at UKYSSE. I'll be around next week for another installment of Green Talks. Until then, thanks for listening and keep it locked.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.